Well, good morning. Okay, tape room, help me out. I need all the help I can get, so either the backup I'm not hearing good or whatever, fix it. I've found out one of the joys of getting older is I get other folks to fix stuff for me. Trouble is, they're hard to find sometimes. All right, how many of you? I got so many questions. How many of you have been watching a lot of the news from the Middle East and the war and stuff that's going on? Raise your hand. I want to know. Put them down. How many of you have watched just a little bit? Raise your hand. All right. One of the challenges of a preacher is it's how much to say, how much not to say. He's got to take it from where people are and try to take them a little further than they already exist in their study of something, and that's what we'll do this morning. We've been studying the book of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Didn't get through the first chapter yet before all this news broke out, all the current stuff that's going on. And so if we went to all the Bible references, let me just put it this way. Just what is going on right now, we can't even begin in a Sunday school lesson to touch the scripture that would have something to say about what is currently going on. So I just have to kind of ask God to help me choose a few things to say about it. It's not a lack of material. It's more material than we can get to. And, of course, more than we probably even know about. So if you bear with me a little bit, I want you to go to the book of Zechariah. And I'm going to talk to you about it a little bit here, biblically, of what we're seeing. Remember what we studied in John over in chapter, 20, the last verse of chapter 20, I believe, in John, where the Lord told us over there that he told us things ahead of time, that when they came to pass, we might believe. Remember? That's what we're seeing, folks. There's a lot of folks got questions. The Bible's had the answer all these years. But they didn't look, they didn't know, they didn't study it, they didn't care. And so now they're listening to all the talking heads and all of man's wisdom, and they still don't have the answer. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they knew in Washington, D.C. what the Bible had to say about it? It'd be a wonderful thing. Even Israel don't know what the Bible has to say about it, and yet their very life is depending right now. Their very existence is depending right now on God getting into the picture. So much. I'm going to show you. The question comes, how is this going to end? Well, it's not going to end fast, but it's coming to an end. Let me put it this way. It's the beginning of the end. We've moved into that category. We've moved into that time frame. And so of everything else you're interested in today, especially if you're a Christian, you ought to know that, as Spurgeon said, keep short accounts with God. God's about to call some things, finish some things. And so it's an exciting time for Bible believers. And I'm going to ask you to go to a chapter. I don't have time to expound it all, but chapter 14, the last chapter of the book of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was a prophet of Israel. You go over to Israel today, Brother Scotty's back there, he'll remember. If you go out of Jerusalem and start across the Kidron Valley to come up on Mount Olivet, you come through a great big cemetery, probably the biggest cemetery and the oldest cemetery in Israel. And as you come through there, you'll look over there and you'll see a little hut of a building, stone building. It's a tomb. And in that tomb is Zechariah, the book we just turned to, the prophet. There's various of the prophets and old-time Bible people that we would know, Beard here and there, Abraham's tomb, and various ones, Rachel that died in childbirth. You can go to all, there's a lot of those places over today. An amazing thing, through all the wars that's been, some of those tombs still exist. Now, when the Muslims took over in some places, they went in and destroyed some tombs. One of them was Jonah's tomb, Jonah and the whale story. Jonah was a real person. That story was real. Jesus referenced it in Matthew chapter 12. And so all that evidence of those things are there. And John said, I'm going to tell you some things ahead of time that when they come, you'll say, uh-huh, And that'll make you believe. I hope it will, because what we're seeing today is something already predicted and is being fulfilled, and the Bible foretold it. In Zechariah, I'm going to start kind of at how it's going to end and then go back and talk to it about it some. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations." Let me tell you right now, we're seeing all nations gather against Jerusalem. That's what the verse says. "Against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken." Molly was singing about it. I love that song. But Jerusalem has been destroyed more than almost any city in the world, 40-something times. Somebody said it is the most fought-over piece of dirt on the planet. And yet it's called the City of Peace, but there's been no peace. The enemy has come after it all these many, many times. Argument about, don't the Palestinians own it? No. Palestinian is a word invented by Rome to spite the Jews, and it's a play off the word you read in your Bible called the Philistines. Remember Goliath was a Philistine? Remember when David come out against him with a sling and called him the uncircumcised Philistine? Remember? All right, when you talk about Palestinians owning Jerusalem, no, they don't. They never owned it. It's all a cooked up deal there. And so when you see them on our college campuses today, we got professors in those colleges that's been teaching anti-Bible, anti-God, and now it's spilled out on the streets. And if it don't get to a place like Hayden City sooner or later, I'd be surprised. But the big cities have got their troubles right now. They're reaping what they sowed is what it amounts to. I read a little bit further here in Zechariah 14. Now, watch the words close. "I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled." That's what we've been seeing in the news. "And the women ravished," the rape that they're talking about, and the capture of the little girls, even parade them around on pickup trucks. You saw those clips. They're not fake. When you see a picture like that, believe what your eyes are showing. Believe what they're saying. The evil of it is unbelievable. "The women ravished, half of the city go into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Watch the next word, and I love this in verse 3. "Then," finally, "then shall the Lord go forth." Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against the nations, plural, as when he fought in the day of battle. And you got that reference in the Old Testament. Come on down a little bit, verse 4, "and his feet shall stand." That's when he comes back. This is the second advent. This is what I referenced last week when the Lord's jubilee to set Israel free. Will it be the coming one? I don't know. I can't hardly believe it could wait for 50 more. But anyway, I'm not setting a date on it. I'm just telling you things are wrapping up. We're seeing the beginning of the end, as I said. "His feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives," which is before Jerusalem. Still there. You can go over there right now. That's where Zechariah's tomb is. "On the east in the Mount of Olives," east of the Mount of Olives. "And when his feet hit, it shall cleave in the midst." It's going to split toward the one end, toward the east, toward the west. "And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain will remove unto the north, and half of it toward the south." This is when the Lord lands, when he comes back, on the final jubilee, at the second advent, when he comes back. Now, I'd like to go on through this, but jump with me just so I can move to something else. Jump with me to verse 9 and see the end of it. Verse 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." He is not king in man's eyes today. "He shall be king," future, "over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one," not Allah no more. No false God, not Baal. But the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back leading the armies of heaven, and this is when the whole world is going to finally find out who God really, really is. Now, I just showed you the end of it, so I can go back and say a few other things. But now we're seeing the encirclement of Jerusalem, of the nation, begin. What you got now is nations like we look down and see on one side, on the northern border up there, we see Hamas, Lebanon. Down in the south where the terrorists came through the wall, all Hamas and all of that business, we're seeing one front after the other. We've got the northern front. We got the southern front. We got proxy nations, proxy because Iran is behind it. Now, Iran is Persia, Ezekiel 38. I've referred to that. I don't have time to review it. The first one, you go back to Ezekiel 38, the first nation there is Persia. Persia is Iran. The last news I saw last night, and I watched some off and on yesterday, I saw a caption last night, said Iran was saying that if they go in on the ground war, that they're coming in. Okay, what we're seeing is the gathering of the nations to wipe out Jerusalem. Now, sadly, as the Jewish army goes in, there's going to be civilian casualties. You can't help it when they're holding hostage, holding our own people and our people, 20-something Americans, also in the crowd, and you can't go in and rescue the hostage without risk of them being killed. And they'll be killed by Hamas when the crowd. I know you saw these scenes. I don't want to stand up here and tell you what you saw on TV, but you've seen cruelty. You've seen the worst of humanity, worse than animals. I saw a man trying to crawl under a car to hide. One of them walked up with his machine gun, not only shot him in the head, but kept shooting him to mutilate his body. You understand, we're seeing stuff that's not even human, not even civilized people would ever consider doing. But the proxy nations gathering around Israel right now. Now, the UN will start talking about stopping Israel. They always do. And they'll use civilians for an excuse, and all that's true. But we're seeing in America now, on these big cities and our college campuses, I've preached for years, any Christian is crazy to let their kids go to a state or national university in America to be indoctrinated against the Bible, against God, and against what's right. 300 universities that call themselves, pretend to be Americans, have classes in them designated to teach Islam over the Jews and the anti-God propaganda. Now they pretend they're shocked when they see them come out on the streets. All they're doing is what the professors taught them in the classroom. I don't apologize for that a bit. I've been preaching it, but I'm seeing a demonstration the whole world can look at. That's exactly the proof of what I've preached for years that was going on. There's a few good ones here and there, but not many. We're talking about Harvard. We're talking about Columbia. We're talking about Stanford. We're talking about these that were started by Christian preachers in their beginning to train ministers for the gospel. Look how far they have moved from the Word of God and from truth to teach the propaganda of the communists now. And that is the final line. Marxism, communism is where it comes from right in there. And we're seeing the hate America. Now, hate is amazing. Hate America is what it is. And the political parties, the two parties we got, both of them are wrong in a lot of things. I'm so sick of the Republicans can't even get together to hold what little ground they had. At the same time, I'm not surprised that the Democratic Party, it's been anti-God for a long time in all of its practice. And help yourself. You can't fire me. I've already quit. Amen. Hate America. It's a supernatural hate. You heard me say that before. It's a satanic hate. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. If you want to know what you're seeing right now, Genesis chapter 3, Adam had fallen into sin. And God promised a saving seed that would come, the seed of the woman, which would be Jesus Christ. You want to know why the Jews are hated? That's the line the seed came through. Jesus was born in the house of David. All the way back from that promise in the garden, there has been war through your Old Testament, and the whole thing was against the seed, against the promise of God for the Messiah to show up. That's what it's been. It's a warfare that is now breaking open, and now we're in the technological age to where we can pop it into our living rooms and we can watch one hand grenade or a bomb go off. Now we're seeing it, but that's the hate that is broken loose. And do not kid yourself, it is going to get worse. It is. The seed fight is what it is. We see it all the way through the Word of God. Go back if you want to see the beginning of that. Satan was behind the hate all the time. Go back to where Abraham and Sarah tried to help out God when he promised them the promised seed. Promised seed was Isaac. Then they cooked up the idea for Abraham to have a son by Hagar, and he did. And his name was what? Ishmael. Ishmael, they go back as the father of what is the what we would call the Muslim thing today. The enmity between Isaac and Ishmael has grown through the years. They've fought over it all the time, and now it's getting down to the conclusion. And how awful it has grown. What a mess that it is. You have it all the way through the Bible. You get to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. We studied it not long ago. Revelation, chapter 12, there's war in heaven. And a woman appears, and a great red dragon appears to devour the woman, to devour her baby. It's called the man-child. The man-child is Jesus. The woman is Israel. I saw a talking nut on TV trying to say the woman was the Virgin Mary and it was the Catholic Church. Oh, he's so mixed up, you could put his brain in a mosquito, he'd fly backwards. Just a nut. But anyway, no, the woman was Israel. The seed of the Messiah comes through Israel. And Israel produced the Messiah, and Satan has hated that from the beginning, tried to stop it, and is still trying in the end to destroy the seed of the woman, the man-child, Revelation 12, Jesus Christ. Now, cruelty? Why and how can there be that cruelty? Listen, folks, it matters what you believe. This is religious cruelty. Suppose I had a book that I believe was the word from their God. That's what they have in the Quran. And it tells you to do exactly what you watched on TV this week and what you will keep watching. That's not new stuff. When you get to the book of Revelation, the Antichrist is going to be in the head chopping off business. What are we hearing in the news? We're hearing about even babies having their heads chopped off. That's the religion. You're Baptist, you come here, you're saved, you know the Lord, and what do we tell you to do? We tell you to tell others about Jesus. But if you were a Muslim and you were going to obey the Quran, you would spread that by the sword. That's their plan. So to be a good one, you would be a suicide bomber and take out as many as you could. You'd do these gross things because it's all right. Well, your religion, you say, how can they come in and rape the innocent girls and steal them away and take them away and all that? Listen, their religion teaches that. If you don't believe me, get you a Quran, so-called holy book, nothing holy about it, nothing true about it. That's the practice they're taught to do. You're given the spoils of war. You go in and you defeat the enemy and you got the right, and it's no sin for you to take the enemy's wives and daughters and take them for yours and to rape them and molest them. That's why they parade a naked woman on the back of a pickup truck. You saw that, didn't you? That's an achievement. That's a trophy. Listen, I can only touch a little bit of it, tip of the iceberg here for a few minutes. But I'm not going to name all that stuff except to say the cruelty comes from their doctrine, following their religious doctrine, rules of warfare. They called for jihad yesterday. You know what that is. That's the holy war. They're asking for all their believers to declare a holy war on who? Whoever's not a Muslim. Kill all the Jews. Gas the Jews, some of the chants went out. Did you hear that? Some of the stuff that they're saying, you ought to listen to some of that stuff. That's what they do when they are in power to do so. Now, the news clips, the horror. Can you imagine right now while we're talking, the horror of the hostages that are still alive, the predicaments that they're in? I'm going to get you to look over in John 16 quick. Hold your place in Zechariah, though I'm not going to have time, I reckon, to get back to it. Go to the book of John. We were studying, and just look in chapter 16. We'll get over there later one day, but right now, look in John chapter 16, and we'll pick it up in about, if I can get my pages to turn here, pick it up in about, start in verse 1. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended." He's talking to Jews. Now, here's where a lot of us believers, we make a mistake. You got to read your Bible and know who it's talking to, whether it's the church or Israel or saved or lost. You got to know who. Put it in context. If you don't, you're all messed up. But here we go in John 16. "These things I've spoken unto you that you should not be offended." Listen, "they shall put you out of the synagogue." You say, "I don't go to a synagogue. I'm not a Jew." Hold on just a minute. "Yea, the time cometh," not yet, not here even right this minute, but it's coming, "that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Just what I got through saying. This is to the Jews, and it fits in the tribulation period. And what we're seeing in the news is scenes we will, if we're not raptured out of here, we will see these scenes continue, because we're on the edge of what we call the tribulation period. It's 7 years long, and it's given to the Jews. During that time, the Antichrist will sit on a throne in a rebuilt temple. Molly was singing a beautiful song about Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And then we know so much from the Bible, and finally the new Jerusalem. We understand that. But there's a place in the book of Revelation where Jerusalem is called Sodom, evil. Why would Jerusalem, called the city of peace, which has never been a city of peace much, wars against it, why was it ever called Sodom? In Egypt, says Sodom, calls Jerusalem Sodom in Egypt, because for 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple in Jerusalem, declaring himself as God, and all evil will be condoned that comes with the Antichrist kingdom. And God looks down and says, "Sodom and Egypt." That's what Jerusalem is, but he won't hold it. I read the verses in Zechariah when the Lord comes back and his feet lands on the Mount of Olives and it splits in the earthquake and the armies of heaven followed him on white horses. And at that second advent, he sits on the throne himself. He takes over. He delivers the Jews. But for a temporary 3.5 years, as we studied the book of Revelation, Antichrist, see, Jerusalem will be the capital of the world for 3.5 years under the Antichrist. But when Jesus comes back, it'll be the capital of the world for 1,000 years. Because he's going to rule and reign, the scripture says, for 1,000 years. But what we're seeing now ought to be exciting to us. I'll tell you why in just a minute. That clock messes me up. I can't see it like I did the old one. I'll try. Try to quit. How's it going to end? Let me say first, it's going to get worse. World opinion will shift very soon against the Jews, against Israel. Now, the Jews are God's earthly people. They need to be saved by recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. What we're seeing is the same spirit that moved Hitler to destroy the Jews in the Holocaust, the 6 million that perhaps died there. Hitler was an Antichrist proxy, hoping to be the one. The devil probably has always had a man he could use. I don't know who the man's going to come to the surface soon, but he will. the Antichrist will. I believe we'll be out of here probably before we know him. But Hitler was a forerunner of the Antichrist. Jerusalem will be the temporary capital under the Antichrist for a little bit. You can read about it in Daniel chapter 8. How soon? That's the question, isn't it? Let me tell you how soon. As soon as the restraint is removed. Who is the restrainers? We are. God's people. God's church. If the trumpet sound today, the greatest opposition that Satan has on doing what he wants to do with Jerusalem will be removed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Paul said it could happen. 1 Corinthians 15. And if we're called out, right now, who's giving aid to Israel? I know our politicians, they've got split tongues. They speak both directions and all the foolishness that they're going on. But still, in the big picture, America is still the reason Persia or Iran, which is the same, don't move right now down and take the Holy Land. They could do it without America. We put our ships over there and all that. We're trying to bluff them. We're not going to bluff them much longer, especially when we keep sending them our own tax money. It's the craziest thing in the world. We just sent $6 billion for six hostages. The more you pay for the hostages, the more hostages are going to be taken, is what it amounts to. Anyway, that's where we're at. Now, wish I could tell you where we're at. I'm going to cover some of this later. I have to go back and just repeat myself. But Hosea chapter 6 tells you that we're about into that third day, very close to the millennial reign, which will be the third day from the time of the crucifixion and resurrection. And we're about in that time that Israel is going to have to fall on their knees and repent and recognize the coming Messiah is the one they crucified, the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll finally say that. Ask him when he was wounded and how wounded. He'll tell him he was wounded in the house of his friends and so forth. I talked to you a little bit about that last week. But let me say this. That's not the final end. For you and I, we are in an exciting time and got a right to be excited because of what's going on over there. Because we know the rapture has been imminent for years, but we know that it's got to be soon before God can wrap up with Israel. Listen, God's going to close the church age, and he's going to begin to deal with Israel again. Romans 11, they are in blindness now. But when he finishes with the church, he'll pick up, start the time clock with Israel again. Listen to me just a little bit. And the devil's fighting me to get my words to flow this morning because he knew I had more to tell than I could. And just think on this just a moment. How does God close the church age? It closes with the rapture. Calls the bride home, the church. How does he begin the day of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30? How does he begin the tribulation period we refer to? He begins it with a peace treaty being signed by somebody that will turn out to be the Antichrist. Did you follow me? Now, what kind of gap is there between the rapture and the signing of the peace treaty? There'll be some time, I don't know. Probably not long, because he's going to come in. Listen, he's got to tell a lost world a story because they're going to be scared. They heard something about the rapture. Now they're left behind. He's got to come in and quiet down the world, and he's going to sign a peace treaty. It's going to look like he's the man of peace, but he's the devil incarnate. He's the Antichrist. So here's where I'm a little bit excited. Am I seeing him about to start with Israel? Is he about to close the church age? If he's about to close it, I'm going to be leaving here. And that makes me happy. Do you know the rapture is going to be a joyous time? I said to you last week, it'll be the Jubilee. You know what? The Jubilee, that was the time of rejoicing and singing. Oh, I wish I had time to deal in that. Too much. Brother Smith, I better quit. I better quit. doing the choir wrong if I don't. All right, continued next week, the Lord willing.